Amen. I don't think they wanted to go either. Got word that Jerry and Kathy Marksmeyer, these are some fairly new members here at the church. We've been missing them for several Sundays, and I want to say last Sunday night we talked about maybe where they were and if somebody could reach out to them and contact them. Somebody has, and Miss Becky did. And Kathy's brother had gone missing in Florida. Come to find out, he was a drowning victim. And they have been, Jerry and Kathy have been with Kathy's mom going through this difficult time of grief. My goodness, if somebody, I don't know who exactly does it in the church, maybe we can get a couple of benevolence cards together, have those passed around tonight, and try to somehow get those off in the mail. Do we have an address? Can you find an address for us, Miss Becky, from, where Kathy's mom lives in Florida? Can you call her back, tell her we'd like to send her some cards and stuff? That'd be great. Thank you, ma'am. Let's have a word of prayer for that family. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord, and we just lift up Kathy Marksmeyer to you, Lord, and her husband Jerry, and this situation with her brother drowning, and this deep sense of loss going on in this family. We pray for comfort. Lord, we just pray that you help them through this difficult time. And Lord, we pray as a church family, we'd be able to undergird and support and share some of this with them. Lord, even though we're hundreds of miles away, Father God, I pray that they just get the sense right now in the coming week that now that we know as a church family, we are interceding on their behalf. And Lord, we're praying that you just help them through this difficult time. Help them come back, Lord, as they come back, transition back to Texas. They travel back here, Lord, give them safety as well. Be with Kathy's mom in a special way as she hurts deeply from losing this son. Lord, Father God, we pray that as they go through this process, that doors would be opened, seeds of salvation would be sown, and Lord, out of this loss, there might be some forgiveness of sin and Jesus coming to some folks' heart out of all of it. Father God, we pray that you take this death and you turn it into new life for someone. Father God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray. God's people said, amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading again here in verse 8. We'll take it through verse 11. And then we'll commence to talking about this last of these gifts that we're going to discuss in this list. We will not be talking about tongues or the interpretation of tongues or languages and the interpretation of other languages until we get to chapter 14. So let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 8, and we'll take it through verse 11. If you found that this morning, would you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. All right. Wasn't the special music great? Amen? Well, that was awesome. The Word of God reads this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 8, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for today. Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you for those that you have assembled here this morning. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit be here free to work, to convict, to cleanse, to help, to encourage, to challenge, Lord. Father God, we pray as we've gone through the service, sung these songs, and Lord, as we've lifted up prayers and taken up an offering, Father, we pray it all be working towards someone getting saved here this morning. Lord, if there's one here, two here, five here among us that are lost without you as their personal Savior and Lord. Oh, they may know some things about you, but they've never invited you. They've never received you. They've never called on your name for salvation. Lord, we pray that that would be the hour for somebody here today. They would receive you. They would be saved. They would step into an eternity with their wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, be with the rest of us. Equip us, wash us, focus us, Lord, to be the church that you've called us and created us to be. It's in your name we pray. God's people said, thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. May He add His tremendous blessing to it. I tell you, it is good to see Brother Ronnie here today. Brother Ronnie, hold your hand up. Amen. There he is right there. That's right. He's got a brother of the bush, amen. He's got the beard going there, and we looking more and more alike, Brother Ronnie. My beard's getting grayer, and I'm getting thinner. And when Brother Ronnie started coming here, I was calling him Brother Jerry, because he's the spitting image of Uncle Jerry I have on my dad's side of my family. And you know, Brother Ronnie, he's just so gracious. He didn't mind being called Brother Jerry. But his work schedule doesn't permit him to be with us here on Sunday morning much. And man, it was just good to see him walk through the doors today. Amen, church? That's awesome. That's great. We got some more faces here today. We've been missing. Good to see you folks. So great to have everybody together with us. Well, when we think about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11, when we think about these diversities of gifts, when the church ministers its spiritual gifts, there's some things going to happen. When the church gets involved in exercising the spiritual giftedness that God has bestowed upon us, there are some things that start to happen. The first thing is, and we've shared all of them with you on Sunday morning and Sunday night, but just to review them with you so you all got a handle on it, when we work our spiritual gifts, when we say, yeah, that's the gift I've got. Yeah, this is a gift I've got. I'm going to exercise that. When we do that, when we all do that in the congregation, in the church, there are blessings that come. Amen? Great blessings that come. But not only blessings that come, the church forms this incredible dynamic witness that it otherwise could not have. A witness of power, a witness of effectiveness that it could not, cannot, will not otherwise have if the folks in the congregation are not exercising their spiritual giftedness. All right? Number three. Leaders are made apparent. They kind of just come up and out when the church is exercising its spiritual gifts. And number four, when the church gets with it and really gets a handle on their spiritual giftedness, and the majority of the congregation say, I want to work my gift. I want to be a part of what's going on. I want to get in on the ministry opportunity. I want to do something for Jesus, not in my flesh, but the Holy Spirit working through me, because I have a gift. I have something to offer. I have something to lay down at the foot of the cross. When we do that, let me tell you something. Unity comes. Fellowship comes. Oh, I know, we get together and we split the melon and we eat the barbecue and we do this and we do that. But friend, when we're exercising spiritual giftedness, it surpasses all of our attempts for unity and fellowship, and we enter into another level of it. Amen? Some good things to come. Spiritual gifts are all about building up the church. Oh, that's what they're for, building up the church. What does a lost, dying world need? It needs a good church. Lost, dying world today needs a church that loves them. Needs a church that will tell them the truth. Needs a church that will offer Jesus to them. Spiritual gifts are all about building up the church into what she is supposed to be. And in the New Testament, in the first century times, during the New Testament times, there were some sign gifts in practice. And we've talked about those sign gifts. They serve to confirm the Word of God. So because we have what's going on called permanent gifts, and because what we have that was way back then called sign gifts, we therefore define these gifts as permanent gifts and as temporary gifts. And what we have in verses 8 through 11 in the passage before you are both. You have some permanent gifts and you have some temporary gifts. They're both kind of mixed in there together. Those permanent and temporary gifts can be divided into three ways. You've got teaching gifts, you've got supernatural gifts, and thirdly, you have these communicative gifts. The teaching gifts, which we've already covered, are wisdom and knowledge. Supernatural gifts, which we've already covered, are faith, healing, and miracles. Communicative gifts, which we're working our way through, include prophecy, spirit discernment, other languages, and interpretation of other languages. These four verses in verses 8 through 11 that we have here before us in this passage point back to what Paul was addressing in verse 4, where he mentioned the truth about the diversities of giftedness, the varieties of gifts. And so this list in our passage is merely representative, because when we look through the rest of God's Word and places in the New Testament, there are what? What else do we find? We find other lists that talk about spiritual gifts. So is this all the spiritual gifts there are that we've covered here? Is this it? No. It's just merely representative. And as we go through, we're going to come to a few more. And as we continue on in the New Testament, we'll come to the rest of them. This list we have here is merely representative. So we've covered the gift of wisdom. Is that a permanent gift or a temporary gift? Permanent. We've covered the gift of knowledge. Is that a permanent or temporary gift? Permanent gift. We've covered the gift of faith. Is that a permanent or temporary gift? Permanent. We've covered the gift of healing. Is that a permanent or temporary gift? Temporary. We've covered the gift of miracles. Is that a permanent or temporary gift? Temporary. Now, are we saying that God doesn't heal? God still heals. Are we saying that God doesn't do miracles? God still does miracles. Amen, church? He still does those things, just not that gift is active. It's not active in the church, not active in members, not active in an apostle, because I'm not an apostle, and the apostles are all with who today? They're with the Lord. They've moved on. Amen? They've moved on. So then we covered the gift of prophecy. Permanent or temporary? Permanent gift. That's correct. And now we're looking at the gift of discernment. Look at verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. This is a permanent communicative gift. Now, I got to be honest with you. I'm no expert in the area of the gift of discernment. Do you know why? I've never heard it taught. Do you know why? I don't know why. It's in the Bible here. Why does nobody teach and preach on this? I began to look back. Have you ever heard one on discernment? Message on discernment? I've never heard one. Well, you're going to hear one today, right? And I'm preaching one today. Pastor, how many sermons have you preached on discernment? This be the first one. Amen? And so as we look at it together, as we think about it corporately, man, I'm just as green as you are on this subject. Number 7 in the list, and as far as we go in the passage, the gift of discernment, a permanent communicative gift. 7 things I want to share with you. They're brief, they're shorter little sub-points here, but the gift of discernment. It is an important gift for the protection of the church. Everybody say protection? That's what it's for. God wants to protect, God is going to protect His bride, His church. The basic meaning of discerning of spirits, maybe this is why it's not preached. Maybe this is why. What I'm about to give you here. What I'm about to say, we kind of just sweep that under the rug. No, I don't think so. Right? Oh, let's don't do that. Right? Let's stay away from that. See, the basic meaning of discerning of spirits has to do with separating out for examination, and I'm about to say it. Starts with a J. Judging. Oh, he didn't. He said it. But we're not judgmental. I'm not talking about being judgmental. Discerning of spirits has to do with separating out for examination and judging in order to determine what is genuine of the Holy Spirit and what is false. What is of the devil? Or what is of our flesh? Satan is the great what? Deceiver. John chapter 8:44 says he is the father of lies. That is correct. You've got that down. Ever since the fall, he and his demons have counterfeited God's message and God's work. And then there's something else going on here. This thing called our flesh. Right? Oh, our flesh. Our flesh is the great narcissistic imposter. Oh, our flesh that seeks its own worship and adoration. Our flesh. The battle rages within, doesn't it? Our flesh. The gift of discernment, an important gift for the protection of the church. Secondly, this morning, a 1 John, think this through, a 1 John, where's 1 John? It's almost to Revelation. A 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, environment, all right? What kind of environment do we have in here today? Well, I hope it's a cool environment because I'm wearing a jacket. I hope it's a lit environment because I need to see the Word of God. I hope it's a fun and exciting environment because I don't want to be speaking to a bunch of people like this, right? I hope it's a going somewhere kind of environment because I'm expecting God to do something here, amen? Right? We think about environment. A 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 environment allows those with the gift of discernment to actually exercise their gift. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 reads this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You see that? What is a 1 John chapter 4, 1 environment? Well, it's an environment where all the Christians should judge carefully what they hear and read. Oh, we don't do that. I ain't got time for that, Pastor. I just want to hear it and read it. No, friend, there's a lot out there, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say there's a lot out there to trip you up? Wouldn't you say there's a lot out there to point you in the wrong direction? When they're saying they're trying to point you in the right direction? Wouldn't you say that? See, all Christians should judge carefully what they hear and read. And that's exactly what the God-fearing and noble-minded Jews of Berea did when they first heard the gospel from Paul in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. The Bereans, they tested Paul's word. This is an apostle. They tested his words. Well, that's a little, aren't they being a little presumptuous? The Apostle Paul? Don't they know what he's done? Don't they know how many churches he's started? Don't they know how many miracles have flowed through his body and different healings and all of these things? How dare them test Paul's word? You know what they tested Paul's word against? They tested Paul's word against what they knew of God's word. What did they know of God's word? They didn't have the New Testament. What did they know? They had the Old Testament. They tested Paul's word against what they had of the Old Testament, and what Paul said about the gospel of Jesus Christ all lined up with the Old Testament. And so you know what they said? They said, because his words line up with this word, we're going to accept his word. Man, they tested it. They judged it. Oh, are you kidding me? No, they judged Paul's words. They tested it to find out if they lined up. See, every believer, I'm not saying that every believer is there yet. I'm not saying that every believer is equipped biblically to do it, but every believer should seek to know enough Bible, enough word as to confirm or deny every message that claims to be from God, because there's a lot of messages out there that claim to be from God. And a lot of them don't line up with God's Word. And let me say this. I've never struggled with this in the ministry that God's given me. But if you come across a preacher or a teacher, a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or a staff member or somebody that is standing up before God's people and telling them how they ought to live and what the Bible says, if they are not open to talk about their teaching with you in regards to what God's Word says, you better turn and run. You better turn and run, friend. You better get out of there. No preacher or teacher of the gospel should resent having what he says judged against Scripture. We're talking about honest. We're talking about open accountability to the Word of God. When we do that, it allows the gift of discernment to manifest. Right? Now, I'm talking to a small percentage of the congregation. And maybe this is why the message on discernment is not preached. Because you talk about people with the gift of faith, and we're not talking about saving faith, but we're talking about that motivational, inspirational, let's move a mountain with our prayers kind of faith that folks in the congregation have. I've not experienced over my ministry a lot of people in the church like that. Again, I see this discernment is not just a whole lot of people have it, but praise God for you if you do. We're talking to you today, amen? We're talking to you today. And we're talking about being open and honest, just accountability to the Word of God. Thirdly, those to whom God has given the gift of discernment have a special ability to recognize lying spirits. To recognize lying spirits. Wow. And that's a permanent gift. That's a permanent gift still in operation today. Are you sure? Man, I'm telling you. That's what that Greek means. Discerning of what? Yeah? What does it say there? Discerning of spirits. Yeah. That's what that Bible says. Some ideas that are given, some ideas that are put across, some ideas that are told you that they say are scriptural and that on the surface seem scriptural actually are clever counterfeits that would deceive most believers. That would deceive them. See, the gift was especially valuable in the early church because the New Testament had not been completed. Why did it take so long? I mean, what's the deal? Why can't we get the New Testament? Why can't we get it in everybody's hand? Why can't we run down to Office Depot and say, hey, run me off 100 of these? They didn't have Office Depot. Didn't have print press. Didn't have the technology to do it. How did you make a copy? You got a scribe. And you said, hey, guess what? You're going to be in this little cubbyhole 12 hours a day for the next whenever, and you're going to copy this, not word for word. You're going to copy it stroke for stroke, dash for dash, dot for dot. You're going to copy it. I mean, to the most minuscule detail, you're going to copy it. Well, what if I end up with a word of, what if I run a word down? No, it needs to look exactly the same as this looks. This is from the Apostle Paul's hand. This is from Peter's hand. This is from the Apostle John's hand. It's got to be the same. So you can see the time in that. You can see the difficulty in that. Because of the difficulty and expense of copying for many years after its completion, the Bible was not widely available. How many of you have a copy of God's Word today? Lift them up. Lift those Bibles up, man. Get them in the air. Get them in there. Hold them like you're proud of it. Amen? It's God's Word. All right, you put them down. Amen. Copy of God's Word. How many of you have it on your phone? A few of you. How many of you have multiple copies? All right. How many of you have more than three copies? More than four copies. Well, they keep going up. More than five copies. 10 copies. Pretty thin. That's pretty good, amen? In the first century? You would have been a library. People would have come from all around just to see what? Your Bibles. They would have waited in line big time, man. Right? The Holy Spirit's discerners were the church's protectors. See, the gift of discernment, maybe we don't preach it much anymore today, but it still has great value in the church today. When the church and the gospel are considered acceptable, or at least tolerated in society, they don't respect us anymore, but there's still enough of us today that they tolerate us. They tolerate us. See, when Christianity is persecuted, counterfeit messages from God seem to diminish. You know why? Man, if I get up there and talk about God, I'm going to the gallows. They're going to quarter me. One leg here, one leg here, one leg, four horses, and then they're going to hit them all and pull me apart. If I get up and speak about God, I'm going to end up on that stake, and they're going to light a fire underneath me. You know, during great times of persecution, counterfeit messages, counterfeit Christianity kind of go away. But when God's word, and when God's word is not necessarily respected, but it's acceptable, it's tolerated, oh friend, here come the counterfeits. Everybody wants to get in on that train. In parts of the world today, evangelicalism is popular and often profitable. The health, wealth, and prosperity movement guys, they like to get in on planes and fly to these third world countries and fill these coliseums with people that make in a year. These folks make in a year about what you make in a week. They like to fill these grand halls and these big meeting places with these folks, and then they sow this health, wealth, and prosperity junk to them. They fleece them of their money, and then they fly back to the States in their nice new pretty planes. Wasn't it Creflo Dollar that was wanting a $55 million jet? $55 million, that's right. Said the government didn't have any business meddling, him trying to get the funds for a $55 million jet. Whatever. All right. When Christianity is persecuted, counterfeit teachers are what, church? They're scarce. Amen? They're scarce. What do we have today? We don't have persecution, do we? Not really. And so they're out there. Counterfeit teachers and preachers are out there. As we move on, discernment must be exercised today because of two important reasons. Reason number one, counterfeit teachers used by Satan usually have some truth in what they say. When you think about all that's on TV, when you think about all that's on the radio, when you think about all that comes out on the internet, when you think about all that comes out in print, when you think about all this stuff that comes out, all of these ideas, all of these things claiming to be coming from God, claiming to be coming from the mind of God, claiming to be coming from the Word of God, any halfway rational, logical person with a little common sense realizes that all of the ideas cannot be biblical simply because many of them are so contradictory with one another. Right? What do they do? What do teachers do? Counterfeit teachers used by the devil. What do? Most of them take a little truth and a whole lot of error. A little bit of truth and a whole lot of error. Right? There's a mixture of truth and false. Am I right or wrong? Right. Okay. Very good. And what you have here, this happens to us guys that are trying to do the right thing. Unfortunately, you will have somebody wanting to do the right thing, wanting to get the right message across, wanting to get the right truth across. And what happens to sound teachers sometimes? What happens to biblically sound teachers sometimes? They get a little pop psychology in the preaching. Dr. Phil-isms. They get a little what? They get a little Oprah-isms in there. Amen? Little Oprah? She's off the air, right? I can't remember. All right? Little Dr. Phil. They get a little Dr. Oz in there, see? Man, these guys are hot. We're going to work this in the message. This could go with this message right here. They get a little bit of that. They get a little popular thinking in their preaching. It seems biblical, but it's what? It's not. It's not biblical. See, it's the ministry of those with the gift of discernment to help separate the wheat from the chaff. Now, we really haven't talked about what's going on in Corinth. So what's going on in Corinth? You've got all these different gifts, diversities of gifts, and you've got all these problems in the church of Corinth. Well, Pastor Stephen, did they not have the gift of discernment? They had the gift of discernment. Or they exercised it, and these were ignored. These were ignored. You ever been ignored? You ever tried to tell somebody, and they just kind of look right through you? My parents used to do that. Tell me stuff. I just kind of look right through them. Right? I was ignoring them, right? Am I the only one? You know what I'm talking about, right? So these folks were either too afraid because there was not a 1 John 4:1 environment to speak up, or they spoke up and they were ignored. They were ignored. Think about this for a minute, folks. Had the gift of discernment been allowed to function properly at the church of Corinth, this New Testament church, the perverted ideas and practices that Paul deals with in this letter could not have flourished as they did. Bottom line, would have never happened. Would have never happened. Discernment is the gift, along with prophecy, that the apostle urges the Corinthians to use in relation to judging the use and interpretation of tongues. Uh-oh. There it is. There it is. Finally, as we move on here, the gift can be ministered in several ways, in many ways. Number one, judging even those who prophesy. What are you talking about, Pastor? Those who get up and preach and teach, their teaching is open to be what? Open to be judged. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29 says this. God's word reads, "Let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the other judge." Let the other judge. We don't want to do that, judge. We're not being judgmental. We're just lining it up with God's word. Number two, the gift can be ministered in many ways, the gift of discernment. Number two, assisting Christians to settle disputes among themselves rather than going to court. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5. "I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren." 1 Corinthians 6, 5. Third, judging the praise of the gospel. The praise of the gospel. What? Yeah, judging the praise of the gospel. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. You can turn there if you want. I'll read it to you here in a minute. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's doing his thing, and what happens to him is, or what happens to the young lady is what follows. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer," Acts 16, verses 16 and 17, "a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying this, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.'" Wow. Now think that through. what the girl said not only was true, but it seemed favorable to the gospel and to those who were proclaiming it, didn't it? Doesn't it seem favorable? These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. What the girl said is true, not only true, but favorable. But what's the problem with what she said? It's the purpose and the motivation of what she said was exactly the opposite of what Jesus had intended the gospel for. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the demons who controlled her meant to attract the people and gaining their trust, then ridicule and undercut God's word and the work of his ministers. In this incident in Acts, Paul could not judge by what was said because the girl's words were true. Why has the gospel come? These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. That was a true statement. But Paul knew she was a demonic instrument only because the Holy Spirit revealed the false spirit that controlled her. See, church, God uses the gift of discernment to reveal to his church whether or not a manifestation of the other gifts is of him. Whether or not a manifestation of the other gifts is of him. The gift of faith, what would we call those guys? Those that have the gift of faith, what would we call them? Got to have them. People that have a gift of faith. We're not talking about saving faith. We're talking about what? People that are ready to move mountains with a prayer. What do we call those folks? The prayer warriors? Call those the cheerleaders? Every team's got to have some cheerleaders. Amen. Those with the gift of faith, right? Yeah. And then these folks that have the gift of discernment, they're kind of like the It's kind of like the gift on gifts. I mean, is this really what's going on here? See, God uses the gift of discernment to reveal to his church whether or not a manifestation of the other gifts is of him. See, sometimes the discernment reveals that what's going on is simply a work of the flesh. You ever been through that before? See, all imitations of the gifts, all imitations of it, not always demonic. Praise God, amen. Not all imitations of the gifts going on are demonic. Much of the imitation is simply the work of our flesh. Carnal Christians trying to serve the Lord in their own power and for their own benefit and glory. How can you tell? You got the gift of discernment, you can't, I guess. Right? Number two, sometimes discernment reveals that what is going on is simply demonic counterfeits. But number three, sometimes discernment, people with the gift of discernment, sometimes discernment reveals that what is going on is simply the work of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. So it's either the flesh that's in the way, it's either the devil that's in the mix, or praise God, God's working. Amen? And so these folks are lockstep. These folks are arm in arm with the gift of faith. These folks are tied together with those that are teaching, with those that are sharing wisdom. You see it? God's given the church everything it needs. If folks would just step up. Amen? Or kneel down. Or grab hold, or whatever you want, however you want to think that through in your mind. This gift is a permanent gift. But I don't know if this is an indictment or a cry for help, or I don't know what you call it. This gift is a permanent gift, but it has to be one of the most unused gifts of our day. Turn the TV on. Just go to the religious broadcasting. This has to be one of the most unused gifts of our day. What a day in time when we need some of God's people to unmask fake prophets and carnal hypocrites. You can't live in a 6,000 square foot palatial mansion and call it a parsonage. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't have a $55 million airplane, used or new. The church is weakened without the insight to expose imitations and deceptions that most Christians would take as genuine. Now, hey, just a final word of caution to you. I hope this has piqued somebody's interest that they're beginning to pray through and think about, well, maybe God's given me the gift of discernment. You know, some of the things Pastor Stephen said, you know, I can really relate to that, and I just have a confirmation in my heart that maybe that's the gift that God's blessed me with. Well, praise the Lord if that's your gift. Let me give you one word of caution. One caution to those who believe they have this gift. This gift comes with great responsibility. Great responsibility. The gift can easily deteriorate into a critical, proud, and self-righteous spirit. And that's not what the Apostle Paul's talking about at all. The person imitating this gift, the telltale sign that the individual doesn't have the gift, but they're trying to work the gift in their own flesh, the person imitating this gift in the flesh becomes judgmental. There's a difference between judgmental and just judging. Becomes judgmental. See, the whole gift of discernment is for correction. You're heading in one direction, and that ain't the right direction. The church is going down this road, and that's the wrong road to be on. Amen? Family's having this happen. Well, family needs to get that out. Or even the preacher missed it in an area of theology. And boy, we need to help him through it. Amen? We need to help him through it. Correct it. If the gift of faith inspires and strengthens those in the church, this communicated permanent gift is God's protection for His people. Amen? It's like SPF 50. It's God's protection. It'll lather you up. It's all good, man. It's all good. Keep from getting burnt, right? God's protection. It's a shield. It'll help you. So the question is this. All the way back to the beginning of verse 8. All the way back to verse 4. All the way back. What you give? Will you use your gift? If you're lost today, will you receive Christ and receive a gift? The gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you a gift. Amen? We bow our heads and as we close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for Your presence here today. We thank You for those in attendance, Lord, that are working their gift, know what their spiritual gift is, Lord. May they be affirmed in their heart. May they be encouraged in their spirit. But Lord, there are others in the congregation that, Father, for whatever reason, they won't allow that process of discovery to happen. They don't want to get plugged in anywhere. Father God, we pray You help them. Lord, help them bring their best to Your church. Lord, help them be a sacrifice. Lord, using their giftedness to build Your body, not for their glory, not for the people in the church's glory, but for your glory, for your honor, and for the salvation of the lost. Father God, we pray that if there's anyone here among us this morning that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that this would be the hour, this would be the moment in time, this would be where the crescendo of conviction reaches its height, and Lord, they open the door to you. May no one leave here today lost. May everyone claim to be saved and have Christ in their heart. Lord, be with those that need to come and pray in the altar. Be with those that are hurting emotionally, Lord, or physically, perhaps even spiritually today. We go into this time of invitation. May it be the highest time of the day. May we focus on you. May we make decisions that honor you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. Brother Jeremiah and Miss Karen are going to lead us. Altars are open. I'm down front. You come.